Katie, missed you yesterday at Consortium SIG. I left because only two people actually showed up, myself and Darcy.
We're all having difficulties adjusting after the holiday break. I hosted a meeting like to early Tuesday morning. I just felt like I wasn't all the way there.
Well, considering that it was my very first meeting as the sole convener, I felt very special for the fact that no one showed up.
Oh no,
And
Vivian.
then later I got a Slack from Dennis saying, "Hey, did the meeting get canceled?" Sorry, Jennifer, to hijack the beginning of the recording of this meeting.
No, that's fine. We'll just wait, I guess, a minute or two. I know Ryan's on the way. Christy's on her way. Well, you just had to say her name and she appears.
Hello.
Hey, I hope everyone had a good winter break. Hopefully.
Oh, sorry, I've got involved in reading something locally. Yeah, winter break was fine. I worked.
Did you have any days off?
I mean, I had that we get Christmas Eve Day and Christmas Day, New Year's Eve Day and New Year's Day. So it was a very strange 2 weeks. It was like 2 days off, 2 days on, 2 days off, one day on. 2 days, then repeat. And so I never knew what day was Monday.
Yeah, because it was like in the middle of the week. Yeah.
Right.
They all
Well,
become
Wednesday,
Mondays.
Thursday off, and then come in Friday, and I'm like, it's Monday. No, it's Friday. I don't understand. Sorry, Robert, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No problem. I just said they all turned into Mondays at that point.
So it's 1:02, and I know a couple people said they, right, I know of at least one person who said they weren't able to make it. Why don't we get started? I'm sharing my screen. Hopefully you can see the agenda for today. Yeah, alrighty. So happy New Year, everyone. Woohoo! So let's see. For today, we have announcements, but I'll first ask if there's any announcements that anyone would like to share. Please just unmute yourself and share the announcement. Well, there you go. No, no announcements to share. All righty. Another announcement, and I think first it comes with a question for Ryan. Do you remember the modified the this is the documentation for when a mark modification comes last after a when you have a mark to mark and an update mark. SRS. Do you know if this use case applies only to this specific use case where there's a mark-to-mark match and then a sub-match to the holdings? You update the mark SRS, update the holdings, and then modify the mark, or is it for any mark modify that falls at the end of a mark-to-mark match?
Um,
Good question. Sorry, could you ask, could you tell me the first scenario again? So it's so the second one was just any scenario where the last piece is a modify.
Exactly.
Oh, but what was the first one?
So the first one is here. I'm sharing my screen. I
Yep.
guess and this is what the documentation references. So it is very specific. And I couldn't find another one. So I wasn't sure if it was only in this use case where you have an initial mark-to-mark match and then followed by a submatch and then the modify at the end.
Okay, I believe it sh this should have covered any scenario where the modify is the last piece, whether, you know, whether that's a under a submatch or not. But let me make a note and I will double triple check on that. But that was my understanding, was it just handling it being the last piece. In any situation. But again, let me do a double check on that for us.
All right. Because if not in lab, next week we can work together and find more use cases for you, Ryan.
Okay, great. I'll be sure to get something back to the group before that. So you know whether you need to keep reviewing use cases or if this kind of covers everything for us.
Christy.
Yeah, no, I think that this looks great. I think that, well, I'll be interested in hearing the answer to that. I am wondering if, can someone remind me, is it still an issue? Can you use the same action multiple times in a job now? Or can you not? Because if we need to nest the mark modification, we would have to nest it each time. And that just made me recall that at one point we couldn't use the same action multiple times in a job. And does anybody know if we can reuse actions now?
So like the same type of action, like two different modifies or two different
The same
updates.
modify multiple times. So like for instance, like this use case is I think ours, and it's if there's a match, so if you match on the 035 and then the holdings, then you want to update it. And so you would need to put the mark modify at the end there. But if there's no match, then we want to create new. And then we would also need the mark modify at the end of the create new. So it would be the same action in two places. If we
Oh,
can't
okay.
put it at
Gotcha.
the very end of the job at a as a top level action, just to do it across everything. Do you see what I'm saying? And there was a time at which we couldn't use multiple actions like that, or use an action multiple times in the same job. So maybe that's something for us to test and lab next week.
Yeah,
If
that would be great. If we could do some testing around that kind of scenario as well, that'd be helpful because it's been a while since that has come up. I think it should be supported at this point, but if we could do a doubled two-way attack on this, folks could do some testing, and I'll also circle back with the dev team and pick their brains on it. That we can get that clarified and make sure we get that documented. I think that'd be great.
Thank you.
I I think you can't use the same match multiple times still. But yeah, this is really good to test.
Yeah, the match that makes sense to me because it kind of creates a contradiction if you match on a certain field and then do something and then match on the same field and do something else. Like I feel like that just logistically makes sense that it wouldn't be supported, but other actions update or modifies or creates those I think should be supported at this point. But again, yeah, let's circle back on that.
What about sub matches? Can you reuse sub matches? Because I can think of use cases for that. Obviously, we're it
Sure.
either
So yeah,
works or we're not doing it because we don't have that problem, but
right, but you have so the initial matches are unique, but then the sub matches could be. I see the logic of that making sense, but whether we have testing in place around that specific scenario, I don't know off the top of my head, so let's add that to the list.
Excellent. Any other updates or questions about this or anything else? Alrighty, so going to our next point, which was I did put in a reminder, I think it was yesterday, in Slack, kind of reconfiguring. Did I spell that wrong? You can, oh, maybe not. Our meeting schedule, in response to the product council's kind of meeting calming, proposal. So our proposal was to essentially, alternate, the SIG meeting with a lab. So, and we would start off like, this week, with the meeting. So next week would be lab, then the 21st would be a SIG meeting, for January. And then on the 28th, if it fell in a lab, we could actually take, a calming week where, if we really needed a lab, we could take it. If not, we just don't meet. And we would finish, if there was a topic that we didn't finish in that meeting, then we would really continue that discussion until we kind of closed it, and as a community thought that it was good enough, or I know good enough to be closed, or it was to be closed. So here's the decision log as well. In terms of what I saw from Slack, it was mostly, I didn't see any objections to this proposal, but I did want to check with the people here, to get your feedback again, as well as any thoughts that you might have. Vivian.
So, and I admit I'm don't really recall exactly what the decision was. So, are we talking about instead of meeting weekly and having a weekly lab, meeting twice a month and lab twice a month? And if so, I seem to recall somewhere in this general discussion that that basically there would be a week where no meetings would be had. And is that, if that's still a thing, is that being taken into account with this alternating schedule?
Yeah, great question. So essentially, yes. So it would alternate. So if we fall on the four, like January, so there would be in the case of January, there would be two business meetings and a lab, but the fourth would be a no meeting week. That would be the proposal in this case.
I will say that there being two meetings in one lab in a month would definitely increase the possibility of my actually being able to attend a lab, depending upon when that lab was scheduled. I'm never against fewer meetings. I had a meeting of a committee that I'm in charge of earlier today, and we actually just not a folio, a local one, and we actually agreed to reduce our meeting frequency from twice a month to once a month. So I'm always a fan of fewer meetings. I'm sorry, Christy, go ahead.
I just had some clarifications too. I think it might be confusing to talk about. So it was my understanding that the lab week would happen at during the regular time and not at the Thursday time. And I was confused when I saw the notice go out on the lab Slack saying to post lab topics there so people know to show up. So I think that it's my understanding that the proposal is that we will meet weekly at this time period, but our agendas will be alternate between business meetings and working sessions that are like lab sessions. And then the last week of the month will be no meeting, but then we also have this Thursday lab session time. So I think that calling two different things lab might be problematic. And so I think that we need to differentiate between what's happening on Thursdays potentially and what is happening on Wednesdays on alternate weeks.
So, to address your question, Christy, so right now on the lab channel, it says, it's asking for agenda items. So I'm unable to change that automated reminder workflow. So I asked Jen Colt to update it, saying that if you have something for our alternate Thursday lab, to please post it so we know to come. Because my understanding is the same as what you just said. Our basically the Thursday is our alternate if someone has something they want to demo or something like that. And if we want to rename that time, we can rename it. But otherwise, the alternate schedule is, well, there's the SIG meeting, and then the same time that alternate week, we would work on projects such as, testing what needs to be tested for, like the mark modification, or using the same action multiple times in a job profile, or refinement of the use of a qualifier, for example.
So, that, I mean, I'm going to ask a different question than I was going to ask. So that off week meeting time where we're working on testing and things like that, is that considered a lab? Is that a lab?
We're just calling it a lab. It's I think the language you can, I mean, we can call it whatever we want at this point.
I guess my question is, so if we're having a week where we're not meeting at all, no meeting, no lab, well, that means we are down to one lab a month. And I will say, I haven't attended any labs, so I'm really not the best person to answer. But my question is, are we okay with just one lab a month?
I would say probably, because recently there have been many labs where, three or four of us show up and nobody has anything to go over. And, we just meet for 5 minutes and then we're done. But, more recently we've been working on the mark modification issue, which I think we've moved to a different level of of approach there with Ryan. So I think it would be okay to have one a month. And we can always change our minds later.
So, and Christy, I see your hand, but I just want to get this in. So, if my understanding is correct, what's being proposed is basically meeting 3 times a month at this time on this day, with the middle quote unquote meeting being a lab.
And that's true. And so, Christy, to answer your question, because we proposed this last time, in our housekeeping, it requires us to, as a group, figure out what we need to set the agenda for the next meeting. So, if the next meeting is, like a lab or workshop, then we would set that agenda at that time. I'm not sure if that answers your question or not.
It does. I still think that there's the potential for confusion. And I think that we should probably update the lab Slack channel to say that, these sessions are, primarily happening in the primary SIG meeting now, and this will be used as an alternate time. So for when the main time doesn't work. Because I think it's kind of weird to have to be like, okay, you can propose it for the main time or you can propose it for a Thursday time. I mean, it feels confusing to me.
Yeah, I think maybe we should call this like a working meeting rather than a
Right.
lab. And this will I mean, our labs typically, they've never been a set agenda. We just kind of show up. So I think, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to get the reminder changed. And we didn't send out any announcements because we really hadn't made a decision on whether we were going to do this decision or not. But I think it looks like we are. So then we can announce that in both channels to make sure it's clear. And maybe I don't know, instead of we have the SIG meeting and then a working meeting, maybe that's the way to phrase it. And then there's the alternate Thursday lab.
No, I like that because it creates some, so it differentiates between the two different meetings, and I think it'll alleviate some of the confusion. Like when you're talking about lab, what do you actually mean? And just thinking about labs, having that in reserve, we don't have to have labs all the time, but I know that they get really active around upgrades or new releases, right? So we can hold that in the pocket and we can maybe schedule extra Thursday sessions around testing or upgrades or, new releases, things like that.
Yeah, so I can just go back and call this a working meeting. And I think as we saw, I think we started to do it already. I'm in the working meeting. So that way it's still kind of a meeting as well. Whereas lab is, if someone just needs help with a job profile or, it's everything that we've kind of been doing. I think some of our working topics have kind of spilled into lab, but of course, not everyone can make that time. Christy.
I wonder if we should have a portion of a working meeting be like an open questions. And we may or may not get to them. But I do think that it's important to have space where people can ask questions. And I like having that in the main SIG because you get a bigger audience And I think that if you're going to have open questions, you need to have a big audience for them. Anyway, just an idea.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why I wanted to change the reminder for Thursday is, I think especially if you're the one who's hosting it, like, I can claim the host on it, but I think you can too, Christy, but no one really else can. It kind of puts pressure on at least one of us as conveners to kind of show up at that time where I think being an alternate and at least having people say, oh, hey, I need help with this. Or in the open working time, if they say, can we use the alternate Thursday time to look at this? At least we know someone can show up at that time to help them.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Vivian.
I mean, I have a standing conflict on Thursday, so I'm never able to make the Thursday lap. But so as long as there is some mechanism for me on the rare occasion that I have a question, then yeah, I mean, I think all that sounds great.
And so I guess a quick question, if we have a month that's 5 weeks, so would that mean, so this one is 4 weeks. So would that mean it's just like DI and the SIG meeting, the workshop meeting, then a SIG meeting, then a workshop meeting, and then nothing? So it's always that last meeting that would be a no meeting week.
Or an extra week off.
Yeah, or we could take an extra week off. I don't know how many 5 week months there are. Sorry. That's not something I memorized.
It's a thing. I mean, they come up occasionally because I have committees locally that meet like twice a month, and so every now and again, I have to adjust the calendar. But I frankly like having an extra week off more than I have like having an extra meeting, unless we are really super busy or unless there is really like a thing that needs to be addressed timely.
Ryan, you were gonna say something?
Oh yeah, I just heard in the chat. I was gonna say I feel like in the case of a 5 week month, taking an extra week off would be easier for just keeping track of things. No one has to do any math. We just know that the first week of the following month is when we'll start back up. Unless there's something urgent going on where we all want to meet up about something, it might be nice to just take that extra week and no one has to use their brain too hard to figure out what the schedule will be going forward.
That is great. All righty. So, oops. And then week five, nothing. All righty. So, is anyone opposed to this?
No.
All righty, so I will consider. I guess we don't. I don't know, Christy. Do we do we? We don't do formal votes. I mean, I guess we just go forth and adopt.
Yeah.
All righty. So, what we'll do is, we'll say this is, done. It's part of our decision making log, and then we'll post on the SIG channel as well as the lab channel. And you know, be clear that I think, you know, using this and I'll change this meeting name over here. I called it lab, but I'll call it workshop meeting. And make sure that people understand that Thursday is still, you know, an alternate. And you know, if they have something they want to work on, you know, just to make sure that that's posted for Thursday so people can show up. And we can also, in our housekeeping section, we'll work on you know, what's on the schedule for next meeting as well. So get all those announcements out and all of that. All righty. Thank you, everyone. Woohoo! We might have to update the documentation, but I'll touch base with you, Christy, about all of that. So going on, so we have Jeanette is not here. This was a request from Jeanette from Stanford. And let me just copy this link into chat. So a revision of existing issues for 856 electronic access. And I think this dates back almost a year now. So when do, let me just see when this well, maybe a little over a year, September 14th, 2023. So at that time, there were new fields for the subfields for 856, as well as a new field 857, and I believe that's for the archival electronic access information. So for UIIN N2579, we have in scope just to add subfield X, subfield 7, subfield N, and subfield G to the current mapping. Not in scope at that time was the 857. With this one, UX Prod 4467. So it needs to be added to all the record types, as well as the instance mapping, the mark to instance mapping, data import, probably bulk edit at this time, mod search, of course, data import, and all of that. And then this one is another, so additional values for ULL relationship. So the 856 need additional. So here we need to read the second indicator. So 3 and 4 mapping to component parts of resource, as well as version of components parts of resource. That so there are three probably very large tickets and. I'm not sure what Jeanette wanted to ask about this. Christy, do you know?
I don't know what Jeanette specifically was concerned with. I don't remember, but you know, there's a lot to unpack here, and some of this I think needs to be broken up into multiple tickets because so some of it is about adding properties to the holdings electronic access block and to the instance electronic access block. So I think that that is under the purview of metadata management. And then once that happens, then we need to like fall in line with the changes to the mark to instance map. You know, part of this also has to do with things that we've never been able to do. For instance, the marked instance map maps the relationship based on the indicators in the 856, but you can't do that in the field mapping profile. So there's a lot to unpack here to get this off the ground. And I'm just wondering if we, as if a part of our analysis of these tickets is figuring out what needs to happen first and, reaching out to the other groups, like the metadata management SIG, about organizing that work. I'm just trying to think about where we even start with this.
Yeah, this isn't a priority for MM. I think that's the problem, and it hasn't been a priority for a very long time. We keep it, and it's been brought up multiple times, but I think, but we can always try again. I'm remembering, I think for Jeanette, the main sticking point was the indicator mapping. So you really could not map like component parts or version of component parts. But
But you
again,
can't,
I don't
you.
know. Yeah.
So, if you're sharing your screen, can you open a Folio instance? Or I can share my screen and open one because you can't map any. Here, I can, let me pull up. Give me just one second.
Yeah, it doesn't take into consideration any indicators. Yeah.
Okay. All right, let me share my screen. So I have a an e-resource here. So, oh, this doesn't have a an e-resource in the instance. It just has it in the so in the electronic access, so the relationship, so one thing here is we need to add another display, a display value for a relationship. But then if we go to data import and we look at a field mapping profile for a holdings. Okay, so for the field mapping, you can't say, how do you map? So you can just choose a value, right? You can just choose a value from the drop down. You can't, there is no option in the field mapping profile to be able to select
What we do
a
is we use a subfield F and we type in the relationship, and that's what we map. So let's say we use a an 856 subfield F, and then we would put in there an A, the 856 subfield F. So it could be like resource or version, etc., if that makes sense.
Okay. Do you think that is that like the way that we should be doing it?
It's because indicators aren't considered right now. I mean, it's the way it's done now. I remember talking to Anne Marie before about indicators, and she said it would be very difficult, but I don't know if that's still the case. Yeah, so I guess that would be a question for you, Ryan, because we haven't, can we switch to using indicators? in our mapping profiles.
Right, because, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that's a good question. I'd be happy to do some research into that, do some refinement and see if there's any technical hurdles at this time. As you mentioned, Anne Marie may have indicated there could have been some in the past. Whether that's still the case or not, can't say offhand, but I'd be happy to look into that.
Right. So it's the indicators themselves that determine what the relationship value should be. Okay. Well, I think that until we do that, so should we? So in looking at this larger issue, Brian, how should we be approaching it? Should we be breaking it apart and figuring out what all the moving parts are, and creating separate tickets? Because there's a lot packed in here.
Yeah, do you mean that in specifically in relation to the UX prod ticket, the feature, or even with those UIAN tickets that you think those kind
Oh.
of branch out further?
I don't know. Let me take a look.
No
Yeah,
worries.
because
I mean,
of
like I know, like. With the UX prod, we're looking at instances, holdings, and items. So that has three different entity types to consider, and then various potential areas of impact. It's possible something like that would need to be split out based on area, focused on. Take something, work for data export, work for data import, et cetera.
Yeah, so
But
actually,
yeah.
I'm
Oh, go
looking
ahead.
at the UUIN, the 2577, the additional values needed for URL relationship. And I do think that that one actually is appropriately scoped.
The two
It's,
five seven seven.
yeah. I mean, it does include updating the default mark to instance profile and the, and adding the additional relationship values. So so Ryan, how do you feel about something like this, which actually feels very metadata management? If it's not a priority in metadata management, are we like overstepping the scope of what we should be working on in this group, or can we push this forward if it's something that we need? Because, yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
It's always a little funny the separation between metadata management and us because we're also interconnected, which I guess is why we were previously a subgroup. But I think it's the kind of thing that would make sense to raise at an upcoming MMSIG meeting to get people's perspectives on it and understand that larger group's feelings on priority. And then from there, we could kind of work together and figure out what the priorities are looking like holistically within the community and then where that fits in kind of logistically for development. Long story short, I feel like it'd probably be a wise idea to bring this up at an upcoming MMSIG meeting and start kind of gauging people's interest on that side. And that could give us a better sense of whether, yeah, I guess then that way we because these branch out so quickly into other areas, overall within inventory and data export and bulk edit, all these different areas, it would probably make sense to just start there and then go from there.
Thanks, Ryan. Any other thoughts? Yeah, so I don't know if you're attending this week, but I can reach out to Felix and Reagan, see if they can put it on a future agenda for us for MMSIG. All right.
That's fine. I can also do it. But I will defer to whatever you prefer.
Yeah,
I
I don't.
don't.
Oh, I don't know their schedule, so they have that. Are you on their planning meeting Slack channel?
I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can just ask there.
Okay.
Yeah. All righty. Any other comments about, and maybe, what I'll do also, because I'm not quite sure what Jeanette. If it was just the 2577 that was, and this is actually in refinement already, if this was the critical component of that work, or if it was, the UX prod or the other 2579. So I'll also ping Jeanette just to see, to confirm that since she's not here today. Then moving on, we have, let me copy this link here, and I can share my screen again.
Oh, I can share my screen if you'd like, if we're going to get
Oh,
into five,
nice.
six,
Yes.
six, nine.
Yes, please.
Okay,
That would be
sure.
great. Yes, we're moving. So the UX Red 5669 remove match criterion options from data import. And this is the one that's in the middle for match profiles that you'll be seeing soon.
All right. So share my screen here. So yeah, this is the link that Jennifer just put in the chat for UX Prod 5669. So this is a feature that I put together based on the conversations we had recently about all of your testing around match criterion options and whether they're necessary or not, especially with the knowledge that at this time none of them work the way they're expected to, except for exactly matches. And so based on all of that, I put together this feature to remove the match criterion options, default match profiles to use exactly matches, with the understanding that users can make use of the user qualifier and the only compare part of value options to get the kind of granular matches that essentially some of the non-working match criterions would have done. So that's the idea here. And so I do anticipate this to be a small feature, which is why I want to make sure I brought it up today to share with you, because it's possible once the team has a chance to take a look and point it, we might be able to include this in our current Trillium development. Even though it's a brand new feature, it might be small enough we can clean this up and make the match profiles just a little simplified, get rid of those non-working options and go from there. So what I wanted to run by you all was I had worked with, oh, actually, I have a link here. I had worked with Kimmy to put together some mock-ups of what this might look like. And so this first image just kind of shows normal expectations for what a match profile edit screen would look like. But as we scroll down, you can see in the area where we used to have match criterion and now just says exactly matches, as kind of like this little line in between the incoming and the existing record details. I think this next screenshot shows it a bit better. Yeah. So you have your incoming details as it is today, you have your existing details as it is today. And just between them, we keep this line of text that says exactly matches. The idea was that, rather than completely remove that information from the screen that where match criterion was, for the user to understand how these two pieces are linking up and matching, we would keep this text in between that says exactly matches. And that's basically it. So really just trying to simplify it. It'll always use exactly matches going forward. Yeah, just make it a simpler display for users with and remove those non-working options. So anyone have any immediate thoughts on this proposal here of removing those match criterion options and just putting text in between the incoming and the existing so that it says exactly matches? Oh, and just this third or fourth screenshot mock-up here shows what this might look like in if you're poking around in data import settings, looking at this from the third pane view, you'll see the same idea with exactly matches in between. But yeah, any thoughts or concerns with this approach? I see a thumbs up from Vivian.
I think this is really nice because right now what you have is, you have my match criteria, which is this whole section, but right now in the middle, that's also called match criteria. So
I know, yeah,
the
the language is a little confusing.
yeah,
Never mind
talking
the non-working options, yeah.
yeah, so talking about confusing language. So, and I think it just makes it really clear. I mean that, yeah, I think this is a good starting point. Yeah.
Okay, great. Great. Yeah, if anyone has any issue with this, please, reach out if you have if suggestions or anything. But if it seems okay to everyone, I'll begin talking with the team to point this out and see what we can do to include this in the Trillium release and have that cleaned up. And then just to note that, this will be a way for us to clean things up and get it simplified. But in the event, I know, recently been using Lab to continue testing some use cases and things like that around matching. If you ever, if at any point in the lab work and continue testing, you identify a need for some sort of further granularity in matching, that's always something we can review in the future to see if, once we have this cleared out and cleaned to better represent what we can do today, there's always the possibility that we can further enhance it. Yeah, I just wanted to th throw that out there to say that's not the end of talking about matching, but just a way to clean things up for now. And there's always possibility for further enhancements if we identify any needs for that in the future. All right, cool. Well, I'll stop sharing my screen because that was really just it. I'll keep you posted as I work through that with the team. And yeah, I think that's it for me right now.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, so I'm just gonna share my screen again. So we are at the end of our meeting. So hopefully you can see the agenda. So next week is a workshop meeting. So one we have test the same action, which I can add to this to the notes as well for next time. If the same action can be used multiple times in the same job profile, then also test if the same submatch can be used multiple times in the same job profile. So these are already slated. My last question for the group was we had started working on refinement of qualifiers in the Thursday lab. Did we want to add this to our testing? Or s save this for next month.
Because silence makes me nervous, I have no opinion. I'm just stating that.
Yeah, so I'm not sure which direction you want to go. Kind of so next week we only test these two and leave it, or do we add it?
I'd say probably just limit to those two. I think, in my experience anyway, the minute you start playing around with stuff, it can, before you know it, 45 minutes has gone by. that's probably plenty to fill an hour, wouldn't you reckon?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I agree with Autumn. I think those two should cover the hour.
Alrighty, so next week at this time we'll have a workshop with, and if you have use cases, or think of a use case, definitely bring that so that we can workshop that idea. That would be great. I guess we could test in, should we test in, I guess, Sunflower? I guess, well, I guess we'll see that next week. Alrighty. Well, there you go, everyone. We're a little bit ahead of time. Well, not by much, like 2 minutes. So I hope you have a great week and talk to you next week.
Bye all.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Bye.
everyone. Bye now.